You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
It's time to get brutally honest.
Ray, have you figured out that Austin Matthews tipped that goal last night?
Oh, you're going to be a smartass right off the hop, eh?
Someone dared me to bring it up.
I'm watching it live. You're sitting on your gigantic fat ass on your couch.
Shut up and drive.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour Overdrive, TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app. And now on TSN 2, Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Mark Denis from RDS will join us in Montreal in about 5 minutes. The Habs are on their bye week now, and they crawled into the bye week.
He must just know the call's coming.
They like, Lieutenant Dan'd into that.
Yes, they certainly did. It was not a positive way to say hello to your bye week. And, yeah, I'm guessing Mark Denis, he's getting a lot of calls from...
Oh, as soon as they hit the skids, he just looks at his phone and goes, yeah, I knew they were calling, yep.
Well, we're not calling to talk positive things about Montreal.
We never do.
No, but nobody cares.
We want at least a take where I think Mark's got a real good perspective. Like, you know, Tony Marinaro is just going to be yelling and screaming.
Mm-hmm. But well, there's a lot of people like that, I'm sure, in Montreal right now.
A lot of people in Toronto are
doing the same thing.
I know, but at least Mark's going to give you a take from both sides. Whereas Tony would just be screaming, fire this guy, the owner should sell the team. Who knows what else they've got going?
Cash me outside.
How about that?
Catch me outside. How about that?
I can't believe you didn't know that, Noodles.
I don't watch Dr. Phil, and it wasn't. I follow Twitter pretty religiously, and it just never came across my screen.
No one watches Dr. Phil.
No one does.
Nobody.
But this just became a something. Like, it went
It went viral. Yeah. It was everywhere. It was like the chef that cut up the piece of meat and sprinkled the pepper.
That guy, why did he go so... What was that?
I think it was just a smooth way of kind of butchering the steak. And then the way that he
didn't butcher the steak, though.
They did. He sliced it up nicely.
Yeah, like I thought you meant...
That guy goes
to work. No, I mean like in a positive way. Like Bill the Butcher. Like this guy knew what he was doing with the steel, right? And then he sprinkled that salt with some attitude, and that went viral.
On the top of his arm, like he was messing around.
That guy is, if he's the owner of that restaurant, like he's making so much money off of that one Instagram post.
I'm pretty sure he is, because like a week after that, there was a picture that went viral that Leo DiCaprio was in his restaurant, and he came out and did it for Leo.
Now this guy
probably had like five supermodels.
I went down that YouTube hole. I watched several times of him cutting up fish and all sorts of different things. I watched that guy for an hour.
Would you consider that a talent? Is it really necessary to be able to cut like that?
Dude, he's talented.
But it's kind
of got
some sort of like a weird vibe to it. Like it's not a sexual vibe, but it's got some sort of weird vibe to it.
Yeah, he puts
a spin on it.
He puts a bit of a spin on it, I guess. But he's in tune with
he's
that piece
passionate.
Of meat, man.
He's very passionate about it. That's
he's
the thing.
He's in tune.
I'm trying to just be very... We're on national TV.
We're going sideways.
Exactly. Let's smarten up here.
Well, those are the viral clips of 2017. Cash me outside and...
Never seen her.
And the salt guy. Dr. You know what is going to go viral, too, is did you see CeeLo at the Grammys last night? In that gold... gear.
There was a lot of...
I don't even know what he was
who's
doing.
CeeLo?
You don't know who CeeLo Green is? You know CeeLo.
No, he doesn't.
Is he a bigger dude?
Yeah, he was on The Voice.
I haven't heard his name, honestly, in 6 months.
Well, I think he ran into some personal problems, self-inflicted stupidity, and he's gone... You know, he kind of disappeared for a while, but I guess he returned last night. He made like a triumphant return at the Grammys, and he was dressed like Goldmember.
Yeah.
Like he was like painted gold. It was really weird.
Yeah, he was. But that's the thing. There were so many. I like watching the Grammys sometimes, but it's just I didn't want to see.
The goofiness?
The goofiness.
But that's what the Grammys is now. It's who can out-weird the next person.
Waiting for Kanye to run up on stage and be an idiot. Like you're waiting for like stupid things to happen instead of just celebrating these amazing artists.
You know, what I was reading this morning is that. The Big E, Eric Lindros, he beat you to the punch when it comes to selling his memorabilia. Did you read that this morning?
No.
He has decided, I guess he's moving homes. He's got a wife and three kids now, and he is putting his stuff on the market.
Wow.
So I don't know what is available, but I guess I was reading about it this morning. He's got a bunch of gear. He's probably got some trophies. And Eric Lindros has decided he's going to cash in on some memorabilia.
What would be your number one thing for Big E? I want, you know what I want? The Quebec jersey.
I was thinking the same thing.
The one he didn't put on.
The one he didn't put on. How much do you think that would be worth?
But there, I thought I jersey? Saw there was
I
a picture.
I think somebody would pay $100,000 for that.
More than that.
I think it's worth more than that.
But
hey, what would you pay
I
for
thought
it?
I saw
I wouldn't personally pay that much because, you know, but I'll bet you someone in Quebec City with a lot of money would love to buy that.
Yeah.
And you put it in a bar somewhere, you like, I'm sure he's still hated in Quebec City, don't you think?
Yeah. Would he sign it, though, do you think? Like you.
For $100,000? I think he'd do more than that. Yeah. He'd do a lot.
I think it would garner more than $100,000. I really do. Because there are these wealthy collectors. I think there would be multiple. Somebody paid $5,000 for the crapper out of Madison Square or out of Maple Leaf Gardens.
Maple Leaf Gardens, yeah. I think it was more than that.
Didn't we have him on the radio?
He called in, yeah.
To our show.
Yeah, we spoke to him. Some guy, he like collects all these different artifacts and
so he was going to put it in his man cave.
It was like in the garage or something like that.
He was going to put it in the garage.
Yeah. Well, this is another thing that went viral in 2016. That gorilla, Harambe. Was that? Is that how you pronounce his name? You see some guy had like a Cheeto that looked like Harambe, and someone paid $100,000 for that Cheeto. I'm telling you.
People are nuts.
If you pay $100,000 for a Cheeto.
Nobody paid $100,000 for a Cheeto that looked like Harambe.
Steph's eating Cheetos right now behind the glass.
Cash
if
me outside.
One is shaped like Harambe.
How about that?
How about that?
Cash me outside. How about that?
I'm telling you, man.
The greatest internet thing was the guy who fought the kangaroo. That is still today the best.
That was a great moment in 2016. Let's bring in longtime NHLer, RDS analyst Mark Denis. Mark, you're kind of our correspondent in the province of Quebec.
During troubled times.
Yeah, during troubled times. We call you when there's real issues. But
yeah,
we were
going to say, you guys rarely call me when they went 3 in a row.
No, when exactly. They started 13-1-1, we had no interest in calling you. But we were reading this morning that Eric Lindros is putting like a bunch of memorabilia throughout his career up for auction. Do you think someone in Quebec City would pay a lot of money for that Quebec Nordique jersey that he never wore at the draft?
I think so. I think a lot of money can be paid for that. He's been a little bit more in the public eye lately here. RDS actually airing a documentary on the whole story tonight. As a matter of fact, he was at one of the very very popular talk shows yesterday talking about the story. He's you know, he's married a Quebec girl. He's there's a lot of contradicting issues with the stories, but I'm sure people would pay a lot of money to own that piece of history, I'm sure.
Do you think people would like move on if they moved on in Quebec City, or is he still kind of a villain there?
No, you know what? Because of the trade, I think they've moved on. The unfortunate part is, you know, that trade really helped the Colorado Avalanche more than the Quebec Nordiques.
Right.
So, from that standpoint, obviously he'll always be a villain as far as people from Quebec City are concerned. And I think Gary Bettman and the NHL will always be a villain until a team comes back there.
So the Habs obviously are having their issues right now. They're still sitting atop the Atlantic Division. They're going into their bye week. They played a lot of games. I think they have 24 games left this season. And Carey Price last night, after losing 4-0 to Boston, said the team seems to have lost their identity. What do you think he means by that?
Well, obviously that identity has to be close to the way they were playing when they were 13-1-1. There's no doubt about that. The identity of the Montreal Canadiens is a team that plays fairly tight defensively and relies on very good goaltending. And Carey Price hasn't been the shadow of himself in the last couple of months. That being said, there are a lot of other moving parts that need to be in tune and in sync for this Montreal team to get back to successful results. They're a quick transition team. They're not a team that will grind you on the forecheck as far as the physical standpoint is concerned, but with their speed, they will get to you with an aggressive forecheck, and they need to get back to that. You know, the quick transition and obviously a successful power play is what was part of that success early in the season and is also part of what Mark Bergevin and Michel Therrien have been trying to build over the years. They've been at the head of the Montreal Canadiens.
How much do you think he was maybe referencing himself talking about identity? I mean, Carey Price is not himself. You're ice level every game. What are you seeing out of this, guys? It's not him.
No, it's not. You're right. And everything that's kind of trickled down from this physical fatigue from being away from the game for almost a full year, getting an early start to the summer workouts, to make sure he gives his answers to the Montreal Canadiens and Team Canada for the World Cup, playing in the World Cup, not having an All-Star break. So all of that, everything has trickled down into a mental fatigue, and now the technical issues are starting to arise as well. I pinpointed a couple of issues yesterday with his game, with Carey Price being out of position, losing balance, not being positionally sound, and that's something you never talk about when you're talking about Carey Price. It's very similar to what Henrik Lundqvist went through about a month ago, where he was all over the place. He was out of position quite a bit, and now you're starting to see that into Carey Price. I strongly believe that Stéphane Waite, the Montreal Canadiens, and Carey Price, although stumbling into this bye week, they were just trying to get by. Just trying to get by to get to the bye week and start working again, putting the work boots on and making sure they tweak all those little technical details with Carey Price to get him back at the top of his game for the final stretch of the regular season, especially going into the playoffs.
Mark, if there was maybe one thing you had to pinpoint for this whole team to get back on track, is it coaching? Is it the players just need to get going themselves? I mean, outside of Pacioretty, everyone is not at the top of their game. Maybe you could throw Radulov in there, has been impactful. Mm-hmm. Is it just that the core group has to get going, or do you think Bergie has to make an impactful move to kind of get this team going?
Very fair and legitimate question, and I'll give you a two-part answer. The first one is, no doubt they need to get going. They need to get going. They need to find that energy and create more. They haven't been threatening for the opposition at all in the last month and a half. So that's the first part of the answer. My second part of the answer will be, yes, Berge needs to make an impactful move if they want to contend. What I've seen is the true identity of that team is somewhere between that 13-1-1 record to start the season and that 500 record in the last 43 games. It's somewhere in between, and if they want to be known as that 13-1-1 type of team identity, then they need to make an impactful move. They need to find another winger for Galchenyuk. And I love Gallagher, and I love Shaw's how feisty he is and how important he will be in the playoffs, but they need to find another offensive threat there, especially. And they'll need to figure out their personnel on the back end, but they've been... they've been happy with the depth. I think they just need to find the tandems, the duos there, and whether it's Beaulieu getting back with Weber, whether it's Yemelin getting a little bit more offensive opportunities. I strongly believe that Berge needs to make an impactful move there out front and find another winger for Galchenyuk, and so they have a 1-2 punch with their lines.
Well, if and when that happens, we'll definitely be bugging you again. We'll get you back on the show down the road. Thank you for doing this, Mark.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show, guys. Have fun.
There's Mark Denis from RDS. Habs are having their issues, yet they're still 6 points up on Ottawa for the Atlantic, and they got a lot of buffer room.
I would say if there's any particular point in a season to have that rough patch, it's right now.
Yeah, heading into down the stretch.
Because if you can get it turned around and get it turning in the right direction, you hear golfers talk about they want to peak at the right time. If they get this going right on the right track, they could be just fired up right before the playoffs, and that's kind of where you want to get to. So it's not ideal right now. There's a lot of panic. There's a lot of hostility in Montreal.
That's where you...
But if they can get it going, seriously, they could pick it up right at the right time, right before the playoffs, and then watch out.
That's where I think a general manager needs to block out a lot of things. When you're in a passionate market, like any Canadian market, and you're hearing radio shows, the equivalent of Overdrive, screaming and yelling, you got to make a move, you got to do this, you got to do that. I don't know if staying the course is the exact remedy they're looking for, but you've got to remove your emotion a little bit from it.
Well, you can't get fleeced.
Right.
Right. You can't call up a team and say, I'm so desperate, just give me something. Right. I'll give you 5 first round picks.
Yeah.
You still have to make, okay, if you're going to make a deal, go for it, but it's got to make sense. short-term and long-term,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And he may have been – there's no – you hear rumblings that, you know, Duchesne would be a target. That's the one thing. If they believe they have Galchenyuk, who needs to get going as a number one centerman, he's been pushed to the wing, he's been all over, he hasn't been great. Plekanec hasn't done anything. He hasn't been a good enough number two.
I feel like this Duchesne's always attached to Montreal a lot of times for his last name. Like, if he was Matt Brown.
He'd be connected to Ottawa, maybe, Nashville. Or Winnipeg or Nashville.
Would you take Matt Duchesne on in a blue and white uniform?
I think Matt Duchesne's a hell of a player.
I don't know what the price will be for him. Like, it feels like he's also just become the guy that is definitely getting traded in Colorado. And I'm not sure that should be the case.
Yeah, it could be Landeskog. Yeah. It could be both. Or it could be something. Something's
all I know is you trade
there.
A guy like that, you know what you're going to be doing? Like, he's a fairly young guy. Like, we're at a point now where we're rebuilding from 24- and 25-year-old guys now. That's the talk in Colorado, how young that group is. They're moving on from those guys.
Right.
That's crazy.
But they make
when it
a
doesn't
decision,
work,
right?
And it doesn't work.
That's the thing. They're putting forth one of the worst years in
they're
history.
Garbage. They're awful. A garbage hockey team.
So something clearly has to give.
Well, you're looking north. If you're in Colorado, you're looking north to Edmonton. Edmonton, I mean, they got McDavid. That's winning a lottery. But they had to change their course. Something had to give.
Well, and I do wonder if maybe you wait to make this trade until you know where you stand in the lottery. In other words, if you win it and you like this Nolan Patrick kid, okay, right. Then he and McKinnon are my 1-2 center. Then I can potentially move right. past Duchesne. Because if you end up losing the lottery and you pick fourth or something like that.
In a draft
that isn't very heavy or right. top heavy, really doesn't appear to have, you know, superstars attached to it.
Well,
certainly
no
not
McDavid
like Matthews
or McDavid. Attached to it.
No, there are, I'm not even sure there's like a Marner.
Right.
Right? Like Marner, he went fourth overall. The way he's playing, he's got right. the talent to go top two or top three in any
right.
draft.
Right.
And I don't get the impression, without being overly knowledgeable, because I can't say that I know exactly what's going on with the draft rankings, but just reading people I trust, hearing mm-hmm. from people I trust, it's not a very good draft.
Yeah.
Now, there will be a few players that come out of it that turn into be very good players.
Great players.
Maybe
yeah.
it's the 15th pick. Instead right. of the first, second, or third.
Maybe you find a Corey Perry.
Maybe you find a guy later in the draft. Maybe the Carlson who goes in the teens or Tarasenko in the teens. That's right. That kind of feels like what might end up happening.
And it's a good chance that'll happen, but you're right. It's not that one name that's just been standing out for 2 years saying,
no.
okay, well, wait until this guy becomes a draft eligible.
Every year over the past few years, there has been a catchphrase attached to it, right?
Right.
Fail for nail, although that was a bad failure,
yeah,
clearly. But
the guy could barely find in the lineup in St. Louis.
Essentially
what was
McDavid's
tank for?
It was something for Connor I thought
yeah.
it was. I don't remember
Honor
what it was.
Honor for Connor? No.
No, it wasn't. And there was one for Matthews, too, I think. But I don't get the impression like that's applied to Nolan Patrick.
No.
Right.
Now, maybe it's happening in Arizona and Colorado. Maybe the diehards down there are more focused on the draft because they know the rest of the season is over.
Right.
But I don't get the impression like there's a ton of attraction to the top end of this draft. So it makes you wonder how that's going to factor into the trade deadline and even deals between now and the draft. You know, in the Leafs, you can bring them into the mix too.
Mm-hmm.
If they end up, let's say they miss, but they pick 12th, I could see them putting that pick on the market.
Sure.
I could see a package deal featuring that pick. And the same thing if they get in and they pick 17th or 18th.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they feel like it's not the greatest draft. And
they've restocked the shelves. That's the thing. There is some depth there now with their minor league team. So you can start to move out picks if you needed to add to your top team.
Right.
That's the beauty of how quickly the things have turned around here.
James texting and saying, I don't get a chance to watch you guys on TV that often, but is it just me or is Hayes turning back into Peter Griffin?
No.
Stop
Black,
it, James.
Black is slimming.
I thought so, but I'm coming off a bit of a rough weekend.
I was going to say, you had
lie.
A rough weekend. You're talking about McDonald's at 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, Hamilton.
Why would you read such an idiotic text by an idiot?
Well, because I'm trying to, I need to be inspired. We're setting up for the 10K, right? That's coming up in a few months. So some guy's going to beat
when you
me.
Can't
then,
always
okay,
read
I'll get
the,
back at you.
You can't always read the hey, I love you guys.
Love you guys. You guys are the best. You got to keep it, you know.
Keep it real.
Keep it real.
Yeah, show us your abs, Rod Brendamore, James.
Yeah, that's the best
part. He's probably ripped.
Oh, he's in his parents' basement with a pizza-stained T-shirt like all the rest of them.
Just carving me.
Yeah, I do know that. That's what those people do.
Wouldn't that be shocking, though, if it was a complete opposite? Like, somehow Leo DiCaprio just texts into different shows chirping people. Like, that's what he does.
You're a critter. You're a critter. Like, oh, how good-looking are you?
What's your bar play like? Actually, I'm DiCaprio, so it's better than anybody on Earth.
That would be. I bet you they set up a fake Twitter account so they can chirp people.
Why not? It's happened before. I've heard of other esteemed gentlemen.
Others doing that.
Ray had a really awkward outro today on the show.
Are we going to go around the table on all these awkward? Because I had one with Pronger. Didn't you have some sort of...
With Steve... Did you find my Staios?
I don't think we could find the Staios.
Sort of a meltdown with Steve Staios.
I actually saw Steve on Saturday night in Hamilton.
Is that the first thing you brought up? Remember when O-Dog had a...
Shockingly, he didn't bring that up. I didn't bring it up either. I forgot about it because it really was a weird... What happened?
It was awkward.
I was just asking a question. I couldn't get it out of... like.
And it was a long question. Like, it went long.
It was awful.
But there was like a kind of like a hiccup in there, too. There was like a bodily function that came out that was not normal.
A sideburn?
I think so. Don't you remember
that? You got this guy from Buffalo or whatever?
Yeah. Okay, well, let's listen to Ray because this is how the conversation got started.
Talk to you tomorrow for Islanders. So we'll see Johnny Tavares.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be
interesting. So Ray choked on it a little bit just on the way out. But somehow, I don't know why this popped into my mind, but we had a guy. His name is Chris. I'm not going to out the guy completely. But this was on the Brian Hayes show, in 2015, I think it was? And you listened to it, and you be the judge. I think he just started stumbling, and he decided, I'm hanging up the phone.
So who was, like, give me some context.
He was like a Buffalo Bills writer.
Okay, so
it was
a football. It's a football person.
So this guy is not a random call-in. This is a guest on your show.
No, this was, joining us next. Like, I'm teasing this guy throughout the
hour.
Let's hear
what the man has to say.
If the Bills do win this game, which I do agree with you, I think they are going to go in there and really...
Chris, you all right? Did he just drop the phone? He hung up. Don't you think he just said, I'm out of here?
Let me hear it again.
If the Bills do win this game, which I do agree with you, I think they are going to go in there and really...
I hope he's all right.
Chris, you all right?
Was there phone trouble, though?
I'm telling you, man. Mullen, you were here. Like, Mullen,
I was here.
You witnessed the whole
was
thing.
Perfect the entire time.
It was a landline.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was a landline. That was like Alexander Graham Bell's
phone. I'm more concerned
of,
like, a medical episode. Like, did anybody ever hear from this guy ever again?
We tried calling him back a bunch of times, right?
Yeah,
he
didn't pick up,
I'm telling you, I think he couldn't spit out why he thought the Bills were going to win, and he said, Screw this guy. I'm out of here, man. Ninja dust, gone.
And then change his
phone. I love that approach.
I kind of respect it myself.
I respect that even more.
I don't know where my thoughts are right now. Goodbye. Because that's the problem that man just had.
We weren't paying him. He was doing us a favor for coming on. He's not going to throw his reputation out the window.
But he technically did.
Well, in this market, I guess if you were tuning in live at 3 o'clock on a Thursday or whatever, but...
There has been two times in broadcasting where I was talking and I said to myself... I have no idea what the hell I'm talking about right now. And you literally have to stall and have a bit of a stall tactic, and then you in a split second,
bring it back.
You have to remember what you're talking about, and then you finish your thought. But there's only been twice where I'm thinking to myself, I don't even know what sport, what topic, what guy I'm even talking about right now.
Yeah, that's when you know actually you're getting the reps and you're getting better at being a broadcaster, when you can talk yourself out of... Just garbage. Like you're in a dumpster of
you
thoughts.
You just throw out a generic phrase. So if that situation happens, and then you think about what you're talking about, then you go back at it.
Everyone has it. It happens to everyone.
Man. It happens.
It's not,
believe me.
But what you don't do, I don't think, is say, what were we talking about again? You're in trouble.
It's a tough one.
The hell with it and flush it.
Believe me, I've been on this mic many times where I wish I could just say, cut it, like throw to Adjua, throw to Fergie.
I'm out.
I'm going stage left here.
I actually do respect that gentleman.
One cop out you could do is you could just say, I'll get more in depth into this, but we got to go to break, right? And then if you say no, then you're basically screwed.
Mm-hmm.
Got to go to break, and they're like, we just started the segment.
We got a lot of time, man.
We're good.
Get whatever's on your chest off your chest.
Even that delay would buy you time to regroup.
That's true.
That's where you're looking at your host going, save me.
Hook me up.
Oh, yeah. He sewers us.
I don't generally sewer you. I try to help you guys out. But like if I catch you with a side yawn or something
side
like that.
Side yawn or when he leaned back in his chair on, well, was that on Friday or Thursday?
And you outed yourself on that. I didn't say anything.
I was just hurting.
For a whole segment, he leaned back in his chair and was away from
like
the mic.
Like really comfortable.
Very comfortable.
Anyway. All right.
We're good?
I'm glad we found that clip. Shout out to Mullen. Mullen had to dig deep into the archives for that.
Apparently Steph helped out as well,
Yeah,
too.
Steph was involved. She's always involved.
Well, somewhat.
Good stuff back there, Steph.
Don't wake her
good
up.
Good work. All right, we'll get back into Kyle Lowry stuff and a bunch of different news and notes throughout the NHL. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour. Three stars brought to you by Babsox. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day, and for the Toronto sports fans, it's going to be a difficult day because the Leafs and the Raptors are both playing tomorrow night.
Yeah, but so, you can take your girl to a game.
We got to get to the grinder, too, don't we?
Yeah, we can get to the grinder looking back on the weekend.
Want to fire that up right now?
I guess we could. Nothing's stopping us. We can do whatever you want.
Let's fire it up.
And now it's time for the 40-30 low center of gravity grit player of the game.
I'm a professional grinder.
We do have a little grit and grind when we reach in our pants and pull it out.
Is that kind of bad for the flow of the show?
No, we're good. Go ahead.
I'm going with Stan Van Gundy. I love that guy. I had the ISO cam on Stan Van Gundy for the whole game. Wincing, freaking out, yelling. He's my grit grinder. And they pull out the win.
That was a big comeback for Detroit.
The coach that during the brawl had a guy's...
No, that's his brother,
Jeff. Yes.
That's Jeff Van Gundy.
That's right.
He has the bacon strips on the side of his...
They don't look very similar.
No.
Like, Stan's got the full hair, the stash.
That's right.
You know, he's more portly. Jeff's kind of got the... He's skinnier guy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The bad hair. I'm going with Wes McCauley.
Wes McCauley, the referee the Boston-Montreal game last night.
With the Boston-Montreal, and that call, that's a grit grinding call. It takes balls to do that. Because do you think he got a call from the supervising referee, the head?
I hope not. I mean, what kind of infraction would that be?
Nothing.
Overexcitement?
I would imagine, though, he spoke to somebody.
Somebody said,
I thought it was funny, but let's not make a habit of it. He might have got that phone
might have
call.
Got a text.
Well, what would be the concern that... That would spread
that
like wildfire?
Starts being a YouTube sensation instead of an NHL ref.
That's the only thing I was thinking about is, you know the NHL. You want a positive image. This is great, but they don't want to turn it into a circus. And I think it was great for the game. It was funny. But to your point, he's calling a hooking penalty with 30 seconds left in the game, and he starts winding his arms up and acting like
a
jackass.
Would you like it if he ejected a player and then went right to the box and said, cash me outside? How about that?
I would actually really like that.
It would be classic.
That'd be very creative. Do you want to hear it? Because
yeah, you know, I
it's
hear
a new
it.
Era. We
I want to hear it.
Played it a lot earlier this afternoon, but this was Wes McCauley last night.
Montreal, number 47 for Boston. Both guys, 5 minutes each for fighting.
It's almost not believable.
I know, it is weird. Like that's the kind of thing you would expect in like the ECHL or something. Like it's ref night right. in wherever.
Dougie
Ontario,
G's
California.
Also my grit grinder.
Yeah, Dougie had six assists.
24 years ago.
24 years ago. I got a few different grit grinders. Jack Eichel, 3 assists on Saturday night.
Yeah,
I got to give
good.
A shout out to Eichel.
And good for him, because all he does is face questions about him and Connor McDavid, him and Austin Matthews. Hockey night in Canada, he went out there and said, I'm still a darn good player myself.
He's a very, very good player. Very good player.
Yeah.
The guy I saw at Shoppers yesterday wearing shorts in the blizzard. I saw you, dude.
Really?
I saw you. Shorts guy. The biggest blizzard we've had in a long time.
In years.
In so years. Cargo shorts just bombing around.
But you wonder what would... How
I
does
don't
that
know.
Transaction go down? Like, that's all he has clean, and he's just got a zip to...
He was just probably in his comfy house clothes and said, the heck with it. I'm going out like this.
I
catch
guess.
Me outside. How about that?
I almost said that to him. I said, wait a minute. I can't put up with shorts guy during the worst blizzard in years. You know how I feel about shorts guy in the winter. I really have issues with that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm at the airport. We had a Friday night. I was flying to Ottawa late for the game Saturday, and there was a bunch of people in shorts.
That's different, though. If you're flying to a warm destination, I'll give you
You're fine with that?
Yeah. At the airport, it's a totally – the airport is not a normal world. It's a different world. It's a different place.
Enough.
People have a different mentality. If you're flying to Jamaica or something like that, you're thinking, then, I'm getting off the plane, I'm going to be in my shorts,
bag chuck, right down to the pool. Fair enough.
I'm willing to give the airport a different set of rules. Shoppers Drug Mart, no.
In a blizzard?
In a blizzard, shorts guy, I just can't accept it. And I was in Hamilton on Saturday, and this, I'm assuming it was this guy's own website. He had a Bulldogs jersey on with a website as the name.
Really?
Yeah. It was like billsboutique.com or whatever. I don't know. It's kind of creative, though. Like, I don't know. I'm not Jersey guy, so I can't speak to it, but...
No, but that's...
If you're walking around with your own company's website on the back of, like, a Leaf jersey or something, it would get noticed at the very least.
I'm all right with that.
That's pretty smart self-promotion.
It really is. Would you do that?
What, overdrive.com or something?
TSN 1050. Would you do that? Instead of Hayes, would you do a 34?
Well, I would never get a personalized Hayes jersey.
A Maple Leafs 34 with TSN 1050.
.ca on it?
.ca or...
I'd think about that.
Or just no, Overdrive.
I wouldn't wear it.
Would you do Overdrive in the name?
No, Blake? Because it's different.
Because you would
different.
Meet some people you know and you'd walk away and they'd be like, what the
it's
hell?
It's very different. I mean, we are public figures. This is
I
a public show. It's different. Like if I had a company that I was launching, you know, I was going to Dragon's Den or something like that, yeah, I would think about that.
Okay.
I think you've got more committed to it, but I can't walk around with an Overdrive jersey. I don't think so.
What would it take?
Well, I don't know.
I hope nothing.
Yeah, I don't think I would do it.
You'd never do it.
Well, would you do it?
Are you high?
It's your show, too. Would you do it? Would you walk around in an Overdrive Leafs jersey?
I never wear a jersey, ever.
Okay, me neither. None of us wear jerseys.
I do have a new philosophy coming up. A lot of people snowboarding, they'll wear, like, you know, Steph Curry jersey.
Over their gear?
Yeah. I might get a Mitch Marner jersey to wear over my snow.
Because that'll just collect dust in the back of your truck with the snowboard, too, because you're not going back out.
No, I'm getting a lesson this week at Centennial.
So that'll be your second time out?
No. I've been one, two, it'll be my fourth.
I don't think so. Since we started this competition?
You've been once.
And you crashed.
I've been twice, and I went twice in one. I went once the very first.
No, the whole weekend, that counts as one. You don't get every time you go down the hill.
No, I asked you that. I said, do I get credit for a day Friday and a day Saturday? And you said yes.
No, absolutely not. It's a one
trip. How many weekends do I have?
Well, I don't know. Could talk to.
Okay, so does my lesson at Centennial count?
The lesson? Yeah, okay, I'll give you a lesson. Well, Noodles is the guy who set the line on 7.5. Talk to him.
I just know that you wiped out and it didn't go so well.
Oh, I had a concussion.
And you tweeted out a picture of a cold beverage at the bottom of the hill. And you said, I've had enough. And then our Twitter feeds, Brian and myself, blew up saying
he's cashed out already.
He's cashed out, exactly. So you went down twice and injured yourself. Do you actually get credit for going snowboarding?
I did.
Yeah, you did. I think if you make the drive to the hill, you get credit. Like, that's a commitment.
Okay.
Right? You're driving north of the city. You're going through traffic.
Okay.
You pull the gear out. You're at the bottom of the hill. That counts
as one. I
think
he's done one then, so maybe a second.
You guys got to give me
All right. Even if I give you two, I'm not giving you four. Like, how do you get four? Where did four come from?
I said three. I went once for the very first time, and then I went a Friday and a Saturday 2 weeks later.
But we were talking about when you bought the gear. The first time you went, you rented. Once you started buying the gear, that's when the number was placed.
Right.
7.5 times with the new Burton Bowl.
So now I got two. I'm at two.
Okay, well, I'll give you two.
No, but he's negotiating for the number instead of
actually
just...
I know I'm not getting more than two.
He's still got to get six more to get over the number. It's going to carry over to next season. Like, you're going to have to go somewhere next year.
No.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying. I think by next year, you'll be on to roller skating or something else.
Roller skating and some other form of... I mean, that 10K, you're focused on that right now.
That's a big part of the whole routine right now.
So there's a lot of things going on right now.
Right.
My brother reminded me that there was supposed to be some sort of Nacho Libre wrestling match with the luchadors.
That was the Kumite we were going to set up.
The Kumite.
But we needed other people. We needed, like, Dutchie to fight Rod Smith.
The sports horn reminded me of that we were supposed to go to Vegas
for some reason. Rod Black versus Gino Retta.
Yeah.
Battle of the Stash. Yeah, we're never going to set up a kumite at TSN. That was...
You probably could. No. In the old off-the-record
kumite
area.
Kumite. Kumite.
I think you could. Kumite. I think Dutchie would dominate. Kumite.
Oh, no kumite. One would go out Dutchie. There's no way.
Dutchie, I think, in who,
Frank
Rod Black?
Frank Dukes was the coolest human of all time.
Such a great movie. Bloodsport, it's an all-time great movie.
I love Frank Dukes.
He's the best.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway. All right. We'll come back. We'll get to the three stars. We'll get to the best bets. And we'll touch on Lowry one more time with his comments post-game last night. The Raptors... There's a bunch of teams spiraling out of control right now. The Leafs are not spiraling out of control, but they're 2-4-2 in their last eight.
Got to get going.
They're not playing that well. Yeah. You know, it's getting to a point where it's crunch time. The bye week's over. You're playing a lot of games. You're catching up to teams who have played more than you. But we've been talking about the Habs a lot today. They're in kind of panic mode.
Mm-hmm. What about, like, do you have any idea of why? Like, don't you think, like, all sports, you put them into one? There's been so many, like, ups and downs and dips and strong play and positive streaks, and then... In all sports, just teams writing it off and mailing it in where they're gone for
months.
It's
incredible. And that's why Golden State is so great. That's why the New England Patriots are so great.
Right.
I can't really think of another team that, like, the Dodgers have been very consistent for the most part, I guess.
Last year, the Cubs were unbelievable.
Obviously, the Cubs, but that's a one-off. I mean, the year before, they had, like, 97 wins, too. So the Cubs have been really good for a couple of years now.
But it's almost like you push
Baseball is kind of a different beast. There's so many games.
But hockey,
basketball, football, like, has there been a hockey team? Like, Washington Chicago? During the regular season?
What about the Packers, man? They were up and down and
that's
up.
What I'm saying.
It's crazy.
Even Washington's had their dips this year. At the start.
We've got to talk to somebody who would know more about it than us. Some kind of sports
like psychologist or something? I don't know. I guess it doesn't really matter as long as you're in the dance and then make sure you're moving up when it's go time.
Well, that's what I talked about Montreal. Pittsburgh, all they care about is they go back on the upslope at the right time, right before the playoffs.
And that's what the Raptors have to be thinking right now. You know, get this garbage out of the way. You're losing games. You're blowing games in the fourth quarter. They're starting to develop some infighting, or it feels that way. More guys are going on the record. DeMar last week said, yeah, we could use some help. Trade deadline. I've never heard him say anything like that before. Lowry, very frustrated postgame last night. I think he was talking about his coach, but he came back today and said, I'm not getting into it, so we're never going to know definitively where he was going with that.
Right.
But they still got
I don't get
25
that one,
games left or whatever it is.
You're not going to get into it. Why make the comment? That's what pisses me off. It's like
I think he caught himself.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
He was going to go down that road, and then he said, wait a minute, this is going to really cause a lot of problems.
He knew it right away.
And he's going to opt out of his deal at the end of the year, so he can walk if he wants. And this is, like, if this spirals out of control to that point where, like, Masai Ujiri is going to have to decide, does he keep Kyle? Does he keep the coach? I mean, that's kind of what they're dealing with right now. They got 20, 25 games to keep the core together, even though they were in an Eastern Conference final a year ago. It sounds crazy.
A player of that magnitude will always win out.
I would think he would.
That's what you want to decide to do.
I would think he would. And with all due respect to really any coach, for the most part, I think they should. The players are the ones out there actually winning the games for you.
But not to mention, he has some leverage. They want to keep him.
A free agent.
Got to keep him happy.
They got to listen to him, right? They're going to have to meet some demands. All right, three stars, best bets coming up. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on TSN 2. Tweeting in, Bert up in Cavan. I don't even know where that is.
Cavan,
okay. So can I get a shout-out? Like, do you know where it is? Cavan?
I think it might be Millbrook-Peterborough-type area.
Yeah? Yeah, Mullins said it's up towards Lindsay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Is that where you got married, Mullins?
No, it's around there. I got married in Bethany. Okay. Same kind of thing.
That was a sweet joint.
That was
the place where Mullen got married?
Hotter than all you know what.
You had a Stan Van Gundy sweat that day.
You did? Me?
Yes, you.
What about you?
I'm not kidding. I was brutal too.
We all went through our suits.
It was a really hot day.
I think I felt. I had to stand in and get pictures done afterwards for another 2 hours.
I was hurting.
We left you in our dust, Mullen.
Yeah.
You went to get pics and we were right inside.
As soon as that guy said you were married, I was just Forrest Gump to the bar.
I would have done the same thing. So,
yeah, that was a fun one, though.
It was.
The poutine showed up, and you talk about putting on a clinic.
That was.
Anyway, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Philly, Embiid, he's banged up, not playing. I'll take Charlotte tonight, lay the points. Miami finally lost. I think that could continue. I'll take the points with Orlando, and I'll lay them Boston at Dallas tonight. Throw down 20, and you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter, at TSN 1050 Radio, and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. All right, we got time for the three stars of the day brought to you by Babs Socks. You guys ready?
Overdrive, three stars of the day.
All right, Noodles, who you got?
Sam Mitchell.
Sam was outstanding.
Every time he is in, I learn something new. I thought he was brilliant.
24 years ago today, Doug Gilmore, 6 assists. He needs to be mentioned in the three stars.
Tuna sandwich, pea soup.
Yes.
And a half dozen assists. Half dozen.
I agree.
Those are tough to top.
I think.
I mean, are we missing somebody who can be the first star? I mean, how do you top Sam and Dougie?
What about
throw
the lady?
Ray a bone for
Ray? Ray.
What about the lady who had the saying from Jerry Springer?
Catch me outside. How about that? Yeah, we'll throw her a shout out too.
Catch me outside. How about that?
The Overdrive three stars of the day is brought to you by Babs Socks. Add a little grit to your wardrobe with hockey's greatest game day ritual. Pull up your Babs Socks and support the team. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.